Please do have a seat. And would you turn back in your Bibles, if you've closed them, to Luke chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 37. That's on page 1034. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, on page 1034. Great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so please this morning, would your word teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in righteousness so that we, as your servants, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do people expect of Christians? When we introduce ourselves to as being followers of Jesus Christ, what might people be looking out for in us? You know, maybe there's an expectation that we're going to be nice and kind and have nice things to say. Maybe there's expectation at some point of the conversation, turning to Jesus and what we believe. Maybe there's an expectation that they won't see any difference at all between Christians and non-Christians. Maybe there is an expectation that the Christian will be judgmental, being holier than thou, and being unwilling to see the sin in our own lives, but rather quick to see the sin in others. What should people expect? Whether they're coming in through the door of church for the first time, whether they're relatively new Christians, whether they've been coming to church a while, whether they're on the streets without a care in the world for Christianity, whether they're our families or our friends or our neighbours, what should people expect of those who follow Jesus? Well, in this passage, there are at least three things that Jesus says we should be like, three characteristics that people should see and expect in us, not least because Jesus demands it from us. And here's the first. Be filled with grace. That's what Jesus says we should be like. Be filled with grace. What might it look like to be filled with grace? Well, Jesus begins. Have a look down at verse 37 with me. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So there are three things that help us to see what it looks like to be filled with grace. The Christian will be somebody who is accepting, forgiving, and giving. Accepting, forgiving, and giving. Now, these verses can be, and have been, dangerously taken out of context. When we read Scripture, it is important to read Scripture with Scripture. What I mean by that is, there is no passage in the Bible that contradicts another passage. So yes, the Bible has 66 books in it, but it is truly one book with one complete narrative running all the way through. The gracious utterance of God to humanity, given over a stretch of time, declaring God's rescue plan for us. So as I prayed from 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. And so the Bible cannot contradict itself, and it doesn't contradict itself. When it comes to a passage like verse 37, the danger is we can look at it, and some people have tried to do this, and say, aha! The Bible says don't judge. So it's not right, Christian, for you to say anything is a sin. You shouldn't judge. What's right for you may not be right for somebody else, and vice versa. You can't condemn any action because the Bible says that you shouldn't. But if we're going to read Scripture with Scripture, we know that Jesus was very clear about the reality of sinful actions, as is the rest of the Bible. The Bible is clear, about the devastating consequences of sin. The Bible is clear about what sin is. And it is clear that all people are called to turn away from sin and turn to God. So here, Jesus cannot mean that we shouldn't be able to identify sin, whether that's in somebody else or within ourselves. Sin is real. Sin is a turning away from God. We all sin, and we all need to repent. So what is Jesus calling all people to here? Well, he's calling us to be filled and overflowing with grace, since we have received an abundance of grace ourselves. So have a look at verse 38, the second part of verse 38. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Jesus uses the image of possibly a wine press. And in the wine press, the grapes are pressed down into the measure so it will hold as much as possible. But then it's shaken to allow every grape to fill every space. But that's not enough. What then happens is more grapes are piled on top so that the measure is overflowing. And this is the picture of the overflowing abundance of God's love and grace to all who turn to Jesus by faith. Henry Parsons Crowell was the founder of Quaker Oats. He was a Christian, and he said this: "For over 40 years, I have given 60 to 70% of my income to God, but I have never gotten ahead of him. He has always been ahead of me." And that's the truth, isn't it, of God's grace. It's undeserved and it's fathomless. So, verse 37, do not judge, do not condemn. Jesus is calling us to be accepting. Not accepting of sin and the damage and the pain that sin causes. Jesus was never accepting of sin, but he was accepting of people. And so as Jesus was accepting of us, willing to call us into his family, so we are to be accepting of people who also need to know of God's invitation to turn away from sin and receive forgiveness. It's a call for us all personally and as a church to not be judgmental, not to have a condemning disposition. You know, you can't come in here because of your past. Well, that sin is so bad, how could God ever forgive him or her? Or look how weak he is, or look how weak she is, falling into sin like that. Now, that's to be judgmental. And Jesus calls us not to judge, not to condemn, but to be accepting of people. And so welcoming all who need to know themselves of God's grace. Verse 37, forgive. Forgive. I just can't forgive him. You know, I just can't forgive her for what she's done. I've heard people say that. But that's not to be filled with grace, overflowing, as our Father's grace is. It is true that when people are unrepentant, it makes forgiveness for us much harder, doesn't it? But the question that is begged of us here is, where is your starting point? Is your starting point really a cold, unrelenting, unforgiving attitude? Or are you ready to forgive? When we forgive, it doesn't make God forgive us, but it is wonderful evidence that we have been forgiven ourselves. That we know that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us, bringing forgiveness. Forgive. Verse 38, give. Give what? Give as you have been given. You see, it's the ability to say, I have been accepted, I have been forgiven much. so I can forgive much. What Jesus is talking about there at the end of verse 38. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How we treat others is evidence of our understanding of what God has done for us. To be filled with grace. It's surely the truth that if people see this in us, this accepting, forgiving, giving attitude, it will seem so different to what people all too often experience in the world, and might just lead to us being able to share with them why we're like this. Jesus, he calls us to be filled with grace. And so that's the first thing that people should see and expect of the Christian. Secondly, Jesus calls us to be godly guides. Godly guides. Be godly guides. That's the second point. And again, this is what people should expect from Christians. There's an expectation from Jesus. And the expectation, I wonder if you noticed it, is that in the Christian life, there's going to be leading and following going on. That the Christian will be disciple makers, bringing people to see the good news of Jesus. That we will not just be growing in grace ourselves, but we'll be walking alongside others as they hear more about Jesus. But there are two warnings for us here. Have a look down at verse 39. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? And the answer is, of course, yes. And I guess we could read this and think it's quite humorous from Jesus, really. But that wasn't Jesus' intention. Actually, Jesus is making a very serious point. His point is, if we are spiritually blind, if we are, as we were thinking about last week, calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but not obeying him, not seeking his wisdom through scripture and prayer, then leading others who are seeking to know Jesus more is so dangerous. Because it's like the blind leading the blind, not leading anywhere safe. So the first warning, don't be a blind guide. You want to share the gospel, you should be sharing the gospel, so you need to know the gospel. I went to a church for a while, and eventually went and had a look at what was going on in the Sunday school. And it was disappointing doesn't quite do it. It was terrible. It was terrible. The reason it was so terrible was the Sunday club leaders only turned up when it was their turn to be on the rota, to be serving in Sunday club. It's the only time they turned up to church. Which meant that they never, ever got any teaching. There's a lot to say about putting them on a rota in the first place, but that was the reality. And so therefore, they didn't know the gospel. And when a child asked them a question from the Bible, they didn't have an answer. But they tried to give an answer. And the answer was so far removed from what it should have been. Now, we're all involved in ministry, whether that's at home or at work or at church. And we need to watch out for being blind guides. We need to pray for spiritual vision, both for ourselves and anyone else who we share Jesus with. But we also must open up our Bibles ourselves. Are we listening to what Jesus has to say to us in the Bible? And Jesus, he continues with a second warning. Have a look down at verse 40 with me. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. What's Jesus' point? That the student naturally becomes like their teacher. The student doesn't know as much as their teacher, obviously, but as the teacher teaches, the student will become more like their teacher. So, I'm a curate. That basically means I'm a trainee vicar. And I have a teacher, that's David. And David's job is to teach me how to be a competent vicar, I guess. So, over the course of the next 3 years, I'm going to be learning from David. And naturally, what's going to happen is I'm going to end up preaching a little bit like him, and leading services a little bit like him, and organising my time a little bit like him, and using my pocket a little bit like him. That's natural, isn't it? That I will do that. It's just natural. Now, we might not all be Bible teachers or Bible scholars or anything like that, but as we saw earlier, in the Christian life, there is leading and following going on. You see, you will see people in the midweek, and they will see you living as Christians. You teach in Sunday club. It's not just with your words that you teach. How you live away from the sort of the upfront role is seen by others. You're at the toddler group. People know you're from St. Lawrence Church. How you act, how you speak. Particularly for those who are seeking to know Jesus more, you will be on show and they will follow you. And so, if the first warning was don't be blind guides, the second warning is people can become like you. It's not just training incumbents and curates that can start to look alike. People will see how we live as Christians and can become like us. Jesus said, a little later on in Luke chapter 9 and verse 42, if anyone causes one of these little ones, so those who believe in him, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. It's a striking warning. And it's a warning to help us remember how important it is to know for ourselves the truths of Scripture so that we don't lead people astray. It's why Paul told Timothy to watch his life and doctrine closely. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Don't be blind guides. Remember that people can become like you. So be godly guides, seeking spiritual vision through the Bible and prayer, and live in a way where people, in following you, will in fact become more like their Saviour. That's the second call from Jesus. What people should see and expect from us: be filled with grace, be godly guides, and finally, be self-conscious of sin. Be self-conscious of sin. Have a look down at verse 41 with me. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now this takes us back to the question I asked at the very beginning of the sermon. What do people expect of Christians? And unfortunately, some people expect and have experienced Christians being holier than thou. You know, perhaps the Christian acting as if a sin that they see in others is far removed from anything that they themselves would ever do. Gossiping, oh, it's terrible, they gossip. I would never do that. But actually, they simply mask gossiping with sharing prayer points. Stealing, I would never steal. Look at that. When in fact, they don't think twice about taking stationery home from the office cupboard. Or stealing time by not turning up to work on time, or spending time at work doing all sorts of other things that they shouldn't be doing. Murder, I would never murder. Look at that, I would never murder. And Jesus said, hating people is akin to murder, is breaking that commandment. And maybe we recognise some of this in our own lives. Because I guess we do find it easier, don't we, to see sin in other people. But Jesus calls us, in verse 42, to take the plank out of our own eye. Or verse 41. No, verse 42, excuse me. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye. Pay attention to our sin. It's a bit like when you're on a plane and you're travelling with children. And the announcer says, do your own seatbelt first, and then do your dependent seatbelt. And then if there's a catastrophe and the pilot puts the warning light on and all the rest of it, they say, do your oxygen mask first, secure it, and then do your dependents. Why? As a parent, it goes against every inclination for me to do that. But why should I do that? Well, it's so that I can pay full and proper attention to the child. And it's the same here. So that we can help others, we are to be self-conscious of sin, identifying sin in our own lives, where we fall short of God's standards. Now, how can identifying sin in our own lives help others? Well, it's because when we see sin, when we see our own sin, we see more clearly our need for our Saviour. When we are aware of sin, we get more and more clarity that we couldn't save ourselves. It had to be the Lord Jesus. So when we see our sin, we see that we couldn't be our Saviour. And we see that we cannot be anyone else's Saviour. But we can point people to Jesus. So being self-conscious of our sin stops us making the grave mistake of thinking that we're better than others. Actually, we see that we all need Jesus to save us. Now, as we draw to a close, I'm reminded of a piece of advice that I have been given a number of times, actually, over the last few years, and it's this. When I'm preparing my sermon, preach to myself first. Preach to myself first. So when I'm preparing my sermon each week, I shouldn't be thinking, just, that's a Lawrence lot, I really need to hear this. Actually, what I should be thinking is, I really need to hear this. And my prayer is that as I see my sin and as I see my Saviour, I can stand here and I can point us to Jesus. We might not all be standing in a pulpit, but it's good advice for us all. If we're faced with the reality of sin in other people's lives, when we see them sinning, we're faced with that reality, we preach to ourselves first that we too have needed a Saviour. And then we can point others to him rather than pointing the finger at others. So what should people see of us as Christians? People filled with grace, overflowing grace to others. People who are godly guides, not blind guides. And people who are self-conscious of sin and ready to point others to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, please help us to be more like Jesus, who was perfect in every way, and who has shown us by his life how we can be filled with grace. People who are not blind guides, but godly guides, knowing you more and more through your word, the Bible. And people who are self-conscious of the reality of our need to be forgiven. So please help us to see our sin and then see our Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.